It's John Sturman from Ukuleles Unleashed. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill. 90.7 FM radio for open ears.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. With all this rain lately, it seems the perfect conditions to talk about mushrooms and hear about mushrooms, which we'll do today. Noah Potter, a psychedelic policy consultant, will discuss legalization. Dennis M. Kitchen, a licensed mental health counselor in New York State, also talks about their use. Plus, we'll hear mushroom songs from Can, Strawberry Alarm Clock, and Tom Petty. Plus, the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and the local Renewable Weather from WGXC, your solar-powered radio station. And it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
Channel connection and the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
The one-night-only reading of Aaron Proctor's Alternative Canon, a sacrilegious romp at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill on April 11th, is just one of the many creative community events on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org. Saugerties Round the Bend Theater presents the show, directed by Beth Ryan Troxell, at 7:30 p.m., Monday, April 11th, at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event or many others, or even adding your own event to get it read on the radio and seen around the world on the WGXC website at WGXC.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul announced April 7th a deal had been reached on the state's $220 billion budget, 1 week past deadline. Quote, the long-awaited day has arrived, unquote, the governor told reporters at the Capitol. This is her first budget negotiation since taking office in August. The spending plan is supported by federal post-pandemic aid and designed to help the state move beyond the two-year health crisis. With that in mind, Hochul said 15% of the state funding will be kept in reserve, up from 4%. The governor said under the agreement reached, judges would have greater discretion to impose bail for gun charges that were previously subject to release, though additional details were not immediately available. She said a new ethics enforcement body, the Commission on Ethics and Lobbying in Government, will replace the embattled State Joint Commission on Public Ethics. The commission members will still be selected by elected officials, though. The list of nominees will be vetted by a panel of law school deans. Good government groups have criticized that arrangement as insufficient to achieve genuine independence. Key items of the budget agreed to earlier in the day included allowing takeout cocktails and suspending the state gas tax. The suspension of the gas tax will go into effect from June to the end of the year. It would strike the state's sales and use tax on gas and allow local governments to suspend their share of the tax. The governor said the state will invest $32.8 billion in infrastructure over the next 5 years, a plan that represents a 40% increase over the previous five-year plan. The budget also includes an accelerated tax cut for middle-class families and small businesses, pay increases for healthcare workers, and tuition aid for part-time students. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Andrea Makel reports for Porcupine Soup that the Durham Town Board gave preliminary approval on April 5th for a 12-home subdivision on 95 acres in the hamlet of Cornwallville. Many community members oppose the project. Town Supervisor Sean Marriott said, and I quote, "Obviously, this is an incredibly tough decision for the board to be able to make for the community," end quote. The town imposed 50 conditions on the project before final approval is granted. For instance, Box Development LLC of Hudson and owner Preston Jones now have additional pump test requirements and must limit the number of people allowed to congregate around the common barn area. Meanwhile, the Cornwallville Residents for Rural Preservation, a group opposed to the project, has sued the town to stop it with a court hearing set for April 22nd. Marriott said, and I quote, "There will be other public hearings for this," end quote. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Melanie Lakosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that an underground industrial fire at the Lafarge Wholesome Cement Plant in Ravenna late April 3rd brought out more than a dozen agencies, but resulted in no injuries. Both the Ravenna and Queemans fire departments responded to the call at the cement plant on Route 9W. Quote, "It was determined that the industrial fire was located in a lengthy underground tunnel," unquote, according to a statement released by the Village of Ravenna Fire Department. Quote, "Crews started the physically demanding task of reaching the fire and started extinguishing the fire," unquote. Fire started in equipment located in an underground tunnel, according to Lafarge plant officials. Quote, "The cause of the incident and extent of the damage remain under review, and the plant continues to operate as normal," unquote, officials said. More than a dozen fire, rescue, and other agencies assisted at the scene. Lafarge fire was the second that night, the call coming in 30 minutes after firefighters finished battling a residential structure fire in the village. Quote, "After all was said and done, there was a lot of sweat and sore muscles, followed by even more hose to clean up. But we are happy to state that there were no major injuries," unquote, Ravenna fire officials said. Read more about the story at theupstater.com.
Residents of the town of Catskill will get a vote on cannabis lounges, while citizens in Cairo will not get to decide if the newly legal drug is sold there. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that in Catskill, residents gathered enough signatures to force a referendum on whether to allow cannabis lounges. The town board voted last year to allow cannabis sales but to bar consumption lounges. But that decision will be overturned if a majority of voters disagree with the town board. In the village of Catskill, both sales and lounges will be allowed, and village voters will also get their say in the November 8th vote on whether to allow lounges in the city. Sarah Pickens-Burden, one of the folks gathering signatures there to get the measure on the ballot, said, and I quote, "We just want the other parts of the town of Catskill to have the ability to benefit from the revenue, to be able to benefit from having another option for tourism," end quote. If the vote does not pass, the town of Catskill will not get any tax revenue from the lounges in the village. Meanwhile, in Cairo, Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that voters in Cairo will not get a say in whether their town allows cannabis sales. Town Attorney Tal Rapplier says a referendum is not allowed unless local residents gathered enough signatures within 30 days of the decision. Rapplier said, and I quote, "If we did put it out to a vote, we would be violating New York State law. We would not have the authority to do that. It's a great idea, and I think And I think it would be great if we could have a specific say on a vote from folks, whether they want it or not. But the time for that has come and gone, end quote.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that Great Barrington and Sheffield expect to be the first municipal police departments in Berkshire County, Massachusetts, to have body-worn cameras for all officers before the end of the year. Massachusetts State Police are already using them. The cameras are paid for by grants awarded by the Massachusetts Executive Office of Public Safety and Security, which is promoting use of body cams for police officers. Towns will have to contribute some funds for related costs. Police chiefs from both towns said a letter of support from their union was required for the funding. Both said it was their officers who pushed for the technology. "Quote, I think it's better for both the police and the public," unquote, said Great Barrington Police Chief Paul Storti. "Quote, it protects the public in case we do anything wrong and protects officers who are accused of doing something wrong," unquote. "It will also help them train new officers and review policies," said both Storti and Sheffield Police Chief Eric Munson III. The Sheffield Department cruisers have had dashboard cameras for about 8 years. Criminal justice reformers have encouraged the use of cameras as a way to increase accountability and transparency. The issue gained attention in the Berkshires last week after a Pittsfield police officer shot and killed a man who had a knife and had allegedly advanced on officers, according to the Berkshire District Attorney's Office. The Pittsfield department currently does not have body cameras, and some of the community have called for their use. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Mid-Hudson News reports that on April 5th, there were 598 new COVID-19 cases reported in the Hudson Valley. There were only 10 new cases in Greene County and 3 in Columbia County, but there were 57 more in Dutchess County, 98 new cases in Orange County, and 42 in Ulster County. A few days before, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention listed Oswego and Cayuga counties in central New York among 16 in the country right now with a high COVID-19 transmission risk. The new Omicron strain, BA2, has taken over at the same time mask mandates have ceased across the country. And you can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. In your forecast for the next 2 days, the April showers continues. On Friday, there will be a chance of showers before 10 a.m., then scattered showers after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 58 degrees. Friday night, scattered showers before 11 p.m., then scattered showers after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And on Saturday, showers are likely, mainly between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 53 degrees. And Saturday night, scattered showers before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 37 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio on Friday, April 8th, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Agogo Show, this week with tracks from Stephanie Santiago, Kiko Villamizar, and the Congotronics International Group. At noon, it's time for the Sugar Shack Jukebox with Jared Wigashud, live from the WGXC Hudson studio. At 2 p.m., the Data Cult Audio Show features Android Superstar. 4 p.m., we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. And 6 p.m., we're live from Catskill with the Clubhouse Radio Program. Teens talking about their issues and playing their music. We hear from a different set of teens, these in Hudson, on the Bound by Books Show, hosted by Georgia Jassy, Jada Pernetti, Fatah Janat, Mashuda Sultana, and Amelia Ortiz, ages between 8 and 20, on the Bound by Books program about what they've been reading, led by the Hudson Area Library director, Emily Shimides, at 7 p.m. at WGXC. At 8 p.m., we go live to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with performances from Wayne Harvitz and Sarah Schoenbeck, their duo performance. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Shavar Thomas and his Friday Night Vibe session on 90.7 FM WGXC, solar-powered radio.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out or tune in Friday, April 15th to performances from Reckless Eric and Scout Gillett at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. They perform from 8 to 10 p.m. Catskill's Reckless Eric is best known for the song Whole Wide World that you may have heard recently in a commercial on television. And Scout Gillett is from Brooklyn. WGXC has live webcasts of each and every show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill and sometimes broadcast them on 90.7 FM. This show with Reckless Eric and Scout Gillett will be broadcast on 90.7 FM from 8 to 10 p.m. Friday, April 15th. Turn out to the Avalon Lounge or tune in to WGXC, your creative community solar-powered radio station.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where's that station again? Oh, now remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 8th. Earlier this morning, the temperature ranges from 41 degrees in Durham to 47 in Hammertown. Soil temperature is around 45 degrees. A little lingering rain trails off by 8 a.m. A high of 60 happens at 4 p.m. Chances of light rain return this afternoon around 6 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 41 degrees and rain continues. Saturday, rain gets stronger with chances of thunder and a high of 55. Overnight, 34 degrees and dry conditions takes us into a Sunday with a dry morning, possibly moist afternoon, and a high of 50 degrees. Monday is looking dry with a high of 60. Pollen levels will be low today and for this weekend. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:21 a.m., high tide at 8:39 a.m., low tide again at 3:55 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:41 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 45 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:13 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:22 a.m. Looking way up, we see another coronal mass ejection swung wide, avoiding any major interactions with our planet yesterday. Mid-latitude coronal holes are releasing plasma streams due to arrive on Monday. Solar wind speed is currently 378 kilometers per second at 6.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 61. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Field recordings, found sound, soundscapes, ambience.
Bells, bugs,
whispers, and plinks.
Hosted by
Stephen Bradley
and Edward Rahelski.
Every fifth Tuesday of the month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Bells, bugs, whispers, and plinks.
On WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dr. Stephen D. Brown of Stuyvesant, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
She's a wife and a working mom. She is America at its best.
Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock commended Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson as the Senate voted 53-47 in favor of her confirmation. When sworn in later this year to replace retiring Justice Stephen Breyer, Brown will be the first Black woman to serve on the nation's high court. Republicans continued to criticize her record. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
Based on her record, I believe she will prove to be the furthest left of any justice to have ever served on the Supreme Court.
The House of Representatives is considering making changes to lawmakers' ability to trade individual stocks while holding office. Colorado Democratic Congressman Jonah Goose spoke in favor of the change to prevent the appearance of impropriety.
We are elected to serve the people, not stock portfolios, and that needs to change. Here in Washington.
The Kremlin admits it is suffering significant losses of troops since Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine. Russian forces are expected to withdraw from Kyiv and shift their attacks to the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with his NATO counterparts in Brussels, Belgium, to discuss the U.S. response.
We're constantly going over what it is Ukraine needs, what it is we're providing, what it is we're helping other allies and partners provide.
Meanwhile, the United Nations General Assembly voted to suspend Russia from the UN Human Rights Council over reports of what it called gross and systematic violations and abuses of human rights. Sharp declines in enrollment are forcing many community colleges to make drastic decisions. Executive Vice Chancellor for Policy and Strategy at the Tennessee Board of Regents, Russ Deaton, said schools in his state are experiencing enrollment drops not seen in two decades.
We're doing everything we can to turn that around. You're seeing our colleges be much more intentional about recruitment, both at the high school level, out of the community with adults, thinking much more deeply about how they better serve students.
This year, a record number of books have been banned or challenged in school districts across the nation. Advocates testified yesterday before the House Oversight and Reform Subcommittee on Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. Pennsylvania librarian Samantha Hall.
When books are removed, communities lose the voice that that book represents. Measuring the damage of lost voices is daunting and longitudinal.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm in New York with the WGXC radio news. Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine is not just a war of people and weapons, but of radio waves. In early February, Russia began bombing TV towers and attacking internet services. Then a major story in the war was that Russian troops were using unencrypted signals to communicate. Here's an excerpt of a New York Times report on intercepting Russian war transmissions.
What you're hearing are real-time battlefield communications between rank-and-file units on the front lines. They reveal a Russian military early on, already facing major challenges to get air support and fuel, and even possibly committing war crimes. It's not clear why some Russian military units are using unencrypted frequencies, but what it means is that people with access to a radio receiver can listen in and record their conversations, or interfere. We collected hundreds of recordings like these, painstakingly captured by ham radio operators and open source groups across the world.
On April 7th, Der Spiegel magazine reported that German intelligence intercepted radio exchanges between Russian soldiers who discussed killing civilians outside Kyiv, possible further evidence of Russian war crimes. In one conversation recorded by the Germans, a Russian soldier claims he shot and killed a cyclist. In another, a Russian soldier can be heard saying that bystanders should initially be questioned, then shot. And the information war is also taking place outside of Ukraine. British Broadcasting Corporation in early March restarted broadcasts on two shortwave radio frequencies, 15735 kilohertz and 5875 kilohertz, with their own World Service news in English that can be received clearly in Kiev and parts of Russia. The BBC had stopped broadcasting to Europe on shortwave frequencies in 2008. Now, though, the BBC's Russian language news website's weekly audience has more than tripled since the invasion began, with a record 10.7 million people in early March compared to a usual average of 3.1 million. Radio Miami International is also beaming all sorts of signals into the conflict, providing news that is not allowed to be heard otherwise in Russia and may be difficult to receive otherwise with the infrastructure damage in Ukraine. WTWW in Lubbock, Texas is also beaming music and information into the area. Quote, I got a friend in the Ukraine that I've been emailing back and forth with and corresponding with, and he loves Creedence Clearwater Revival, unquote, said Dan Collins from the station. Quote, he loves it. I mean, he's a big fan. It's just kind of cool to be able to entertain the folks and also put some things in that they may not know. We have listeners in Russia. They don't get the truth. They'll never get the truth, but they can't stop us. That's the beauty of it, unquote. This has been the Wave Farm Radio Report. Go to wavefarm.org for more information.
Elevenet began as Norwegian composer Dan Peter Sundland's master's degree project. And we'll hear some of his lush orchestral jazz fully realized on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Steve Moore, Phonoghosts, Fringe Magnetic, and Jimmy Penguin. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And after a lot of rain, we're looking at a few more days of cloudy skies and precipitation, with a 30% chance of rain on Friday. Partly sunny skies, though, are possible, with a high of 49. The wind for windmills will be good, with 6 to 15 mile per hour winds. And Friday night, those winds die down a little bit to 9 and 11 miles per hour, with a 40% chance of showers after midnight and cloudy skies. Showers are again likely on Saturday, with a 60% chance of rain, mainly before 2 p.m. Then it becomes partly sunny with a high of 44 and a south wind from 9 miles per hour. Saturday night, the windmills spin a little faster, with a northwest wind 10 to 14 miles per hour and 30% chance of rain, with cloudy skies and a low around 32. Sunday, there's only a 20% chance of showers after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 40 and a low of 30. You're listening to the radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, your solar-powered radio station.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Noah Potter, who is one of the speakers at the Ending the Prohibition of the Mind, a mushroom symposium, which the Media Sanctuary and others are helping to sponsor virtually on Tuesday, April 19th at 7 p.m. You can check out mediasanctuary.org under events. But he is a psychedelic policy consultant who's been active in the psychedelic legalization movement for 1993. He's worked to call attention to the racial disparity of drug law enforcement, and also in 2020 co-founded the advocacy group dedicated to psychedelic law reform in New York, including the legalization of what some people call magic mushrooms, others call, you know, psilocybin. Noah, what's a psychedelic policy consultant?
Psychedelic policy consultant is a recent addition to the world, I suppose, rapidly growing field. A psychedelic policy consultant helps to explain the psychedelic paradigm and how to incorporate a psychedelic experience into contemporary society. There's background explanation that's necessary often for people who are familiar with psychedelics. There's often there's an exercise in trying to translate that experience with which people may be personally familiar into messaging that would could make sense to people who aren't. There's a psychedelic reform movement spreading all over the United States, represented in some other parts of the world, although I'm not as familiar with those. There are efforts to pass resolutions at the local level, depenalizing or deprioritizing psychedelic law, psychedelic criminal offenses. And there are movements in multiple states to change state law to facilitate access to psychedelic experiences.
Now, psilocybin, which is, I guess, the compound in the magic mushrooms, was banned by the federal 1970 Controlled Substances Act. However, in the last decade, a lot of research institutions like NYU and Johns Hopkins about its ability to help treat conditions like depression, anxiety, substance dependency, and many others. And of course, in New York, we've had, you know, the decade-long fight first to legalization of medical use of marijuana, and now allegedly, you know, recreational use. Is the movement around legalization, particularly in New York, more focused on the medical aspect, or is it more on, hey, this is a safe substance, should be recreational at people's discretion?
So definitely not the latter. The idea of some people use the term recreational. I tend to stay away from that because concept of recreational, the implications of recreational suggest frivolity and simple self-indulgence as implied to any psychoactive substance. So you probably move the needle towards the medical side. Although, again, that's somewhat problematic terminology. I would use the term therapeutic use or medicinal use. So there's very, very little in the way of reform movement towards a general adult use, the kind of like the over-the-counter concept that we see in cannabis legalization. It's really, to a large extent, oriented towards a therapeutic framework, and that's at least at the state level. The only model of general unrestricted use, a true over-the-counter approach, is represented in an attempted voter initiative in California. But other than that, now everything contemplates some kind of therapeutic application, contemplating supervised use by a person who may have medical training and may not. And I'm referring specifically to the law that passed in Oregon in November of 2020 that designs a state-regulated system in which a person may undergo a psilocybin experience, but only on a sort of inpatient basis in a licensed facility.
So what's the status of the legislation that's pending in New York State at the present time?
So there are three bills that are pending in New York, all three in the Assembly, two introduced by Manhattan Assembly member Linda Rosenthal, and one introduced by Buffalo Assembly member Pat Burke. Properly speaking, one of Assemblymember Rosenthal's bills is specific to psilocybin, and that is a descheduling bill that simply strikes psilocybin and psilocin, actually a related compound, from the state-controlled substances list. And a second bill is actually broader in scope. It would create a research institute and a mechanism to facilitate clinical trials, not limited to psilocybin, actually broad enough in scope to cover multiple psychedelic substances. So that second bill is not properly a psilocybin-specific bill, but it would bear on research into therapeutic uses of psilocybin. The bill introduced by Assemblymember Burke is oriented towards creating a psilocybin-assisted therapy system. Psychedelic-assisted therapy is the term of art now to describe mental health care using a psychedelic substance as an adjunct. And then when we talk about a system that's particular to psilocybin, we call it a psilocybin-assisted therapy bill. So that bill is the same concept, expresses the same concept as the legislation that passed in Oregon. I should say the initiative that passed in Oregon. But it's as drafted to date, it's a different model. It's basically just kind of a cutting and pasting of the medical cannabis bill, but switching out psilocybin for cannabis. My understanding is that Assemblymember Burt's staff is going to amend that bill to make it more appropriate to the nature of psilocybin.
Okay. So on Tuesday, April 19, 7 p.m., ending the prohibition of the mind, a mushroom symposium. Noah Pott is going to be one of the speakers. MediaSanctuary.org. Check out our event site. So Noah, what is the purpose or the format of this particular forum? What will people get out of it, by participating with?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this event is actually quite significant. To my knowledge, it will be the first public educational program on any psychedelic substance organized in the state of New York. And it's an indicator of the growing awareness of psychedelics and the potential benefits to society. There will be several speakers, including the two assembly members I just mentioned, Burke and Rosenthal, speaking, I believe, for the first time on their legislation. I will speak, and another attorney, a colleague, my name, Hadass Alterman, will speak. She's actually in practice as a psychedelic and cannabis attorney. Pammy Jackson of the Psychedelic Sisterhood will speak. Dimitri Mujinas, who is a well-known underground and coming above ground psychedelic therapy provider. And we'll all be speaking about different aspects of psilocybin and putting it in context of the psychedelic reform movement and the psychedelic paradigm and trying to explain that to the listeners, some of whom may be very familiar with psychedelics, some of whom I think are going to want to get more information considering how much of a buzz there is now in the popular media about psychedelics.
So in the last 30 seconds, if people want more information about this issue, how best can they get that or keep on top of the issue?
Well, if they want to, you know, just to, as you referenced, the Media Sanctuary, the Sanctuary site, that's the place to go and learn about the event. There are multiple websites now on the topic of psychedelics. My website is legalmarketstrategies.com, legalmarketstrategies.com. You can look me up, Noah Potter, on LinkedIn or find me through that site or my blog, New Amsterdam Psychedelic Law. I can refer people who are interested to additional resources, of which there are many online.
Thank you very much, Noah Potter. Tuesday, April 19th, 7 p.m., mediasanctuary.org. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
Andrea Conley here with Hudson Mohawk Magazine. In reference to ending the prohibition of the mind, a mushroom symposium, today I talked to Dennis M. Kitchen, who's a licensed mental health counselor in New York State. And I understand that your specialties are anxiety and panic and depression, life transition. That's a tough job, but welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine, Dennis.
What a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
I understand that you started something that's an interesting concept. It's called The Lens.
Yeah, I wrote a paper when I was getting my degree in mental health counseling. The professor asked us to make up our own orientation after we'd studied about 13 different orientations like CBT, Jungian analysis, Gestalt, Rogerian, Carl Rogers approach, all these different approaches. And he says, now make up your own. And I got struck with inspiration. I thought, oh, what if we took all the great things about psychotherapy, all the evidence-based approaches, and combined that with all the fellowship and family atmosphere of church, what would you get? So I wrote this paper called The Lens. You know, somebody could do that. Somebody could take the best of these both worlds. And by contrast, take out the worst of these two worlds, the worst parts of clinical treatment, the impersonality of it, part of the ethics of being a mental health counselor. You ought not to be anything but a mental health counselor to somebody else. And then what if we had all the superstition and idolatry associated with church or religion and we got rid of that? I just kind of munched on that. As I was munching on that, I munched on some mushrooms for the very first time. My goodness, that was helpful. I'm glad I did that. I said, I got to get this into the idea of The Lens. Grappling with the concept of how do you keep something as great as psychotherapy and as great as the mushroom experience, how do you keep this separated from the ceremonial and congregational and church life for all these years? Like, these need to get together at some point. Yeah,
you need to expand on that, because I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Well, yeah, and let me just say, it's a work in progress, right? So whatever I say today that we're doing may not age well. We'll see how this goes. But yeah, for now, what we're doing is we meet every week, just like a church does on Sunday at 10 a.m. And we meet in a yoga studio, and we don't do mushrooms every week. We have retreats a couple times a year. This gives us several weeks before each retreat to sort of prepare people. So we'll have these workshops where people will meet formally and informally with myself and other members of The Lens. We just do an inventory of what's going on, all the constituent parts of what makes up your quality of life. And we call that the inventory. It was inspired by Françoise Borzat and her book, Consciousness Medicine. And then we also do some looking at Alan Watts and his admonitions and advice And he was really big about making the connection that here in the West, our psychotherapy is an awful lot like Taoism and Hinduism and Buddhism. It's like our Western version of that is psychotherapy. We'd look at that for several weeks before the retreat. We practice meditation. You're gaining skill being able to focus your attention in certain ways. So all that preparation is taking place throughout the year. As far as my part in this, that's the only time I use psilocybin, either in preparation for our ceremonial use or during our ceremonial use. We will have like a rehearsal a few days ahead where anybody involved with the guidance and with the facilitating of the ceremony gets a chance to have their trip. And then we have the ceremony for other folks that come in, and we serve them, and we do so sober.
What are the, you know, psychological benefits of psilocybin?
If you look at the research that was done at Johns Hopkins University, NYU, and in other schools that are doing studies, what they found is that it used in sufficient dose, so around 25 milligrams of psilocybin, it creates a mystical experience. You're going to hit this sweet spot of experience and state of mind where the default mode network parts of your brain become deactivated. You basically lose a lot of that ego, and you lose a lot of this autobiographical stream of content that's going through our minds, telling us who the hell we think we are all the time. All that gets shut down, and now you're able to take on a more of the fire hose of consciousness coming at you. It's this moment that correlates also with what many over thousands of years have called a mystical experience or religious experience, grasping of the holy or the sacred. And of course, when you come back from that, you're more than welcome to choose whatever worldview you like. It doesn't necessarily change who you are in the long term, but it lets you get a perspective for a few hours that you otherwise might not have had on your existence and who you think you are. And many people that join us report this having had this mystical experience. That experience correlates with things like getting off of cocaine, getting off of nicotine, overcoming depression, especially depression that's resistant to other forms of treatment, changing your relationship with death. Let's just pause there. To me, that's the whole of psychotherapy. That merger between medicine and psychotherapy is changing people's relationship with death, which is where I consider the bulk of our anxiety to be coming from.
Symposium that will be on in April is discussing the idea of legalization, because right now this is a Schedule I controlled substance. Mm-hmm. And the United States government seems to believe that there's no accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. How do you address the idea of legalization of this?
When I decided to start a church, I realized that, well, this is awfully convenient. It just so happens that churches and religion generally is the impetus for the entire First Amendment. It's the foundation of our Constitution. It's the foundation of the country. This could be an avenue of legalization, that is to say, using these tools, using these plants in a manner which is responsible, in which they were meant to be used, let's say. You know, crime is merely the misuse and abuse of tools. Like, we know guns, for example, aren't illegal, but using a gun in a manner which doesn't cause benefit but instead harm, that's a crime. I have a feeling that's what happened with a lot of these plants and with these compounds and chemicals, is that people felt there was some sort of misuse of them going on. Maybe that's valid, and so laws were passed to address the misuse. I think if you establish a church and can say, look, we're really committed earnestly to using these tools and having this mystical experience, which is our birthright, we trump all of the local and state and federal laws that were erected against that. You know, our local assemblyman, Pat Burke, who's my district assemblyman here in New York, just put forth a bill to get psilocybin legal to help in a clinical setting folks like first responders and vets. So there's a broad appeal across a lot of different political lines to see folks like that get the help they want to get. And that's great.
Can it be abused? It's a hallucinogenic. Mm-hmm. Is that possible that if it became more readily available, it would be abused? The potential is there. Regulating the laws or usage would either make it more appealing or destructive as far as psychotherapy goes.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think we're going to find increasingly that just like we found with meditation and so many other things that have come along are usually touted as sort of like a panacea. We're already seeing that there's a dark side to the use of entheogens. It's another word that's the more ceremonial or religious term. Just as there's a dark side to religion and churches and cults and all of that, I think we're going to see increasingly people who have erred in that effort. There'll be abuses. People's defenses are dissolved.